Get ready to rock radio, music you want to hear.
In the late 60s, early 70s, the UK music scene was generally regarded as slightly ahead of the rest of the world, but obviously that all changed. But how do you view the UK market?
Man, we thought we were never going to crack in the UK, and bands like ourselves, more pop rock driven, we didn't really view ourselves as cool enough for the UK. And so to have that response that we had over the past year or two with our fans over there, we were just excited and almost shocked that that we were that well received. So we're very, very gracious.
Yeah.
And grateful for UK fans.
Because we should say that in America and in Canada, I mean, your albums have achieved amazing sales, platinum, gold status. Maybe less so here in the UK, in spite of tours and promotion. I mean, do you think, Chris, it's hard for a band these days on either side of the Atlantic to break into new markets?
Yeah, I think it's hard across the board for any new bands to break anywhere, especially with record sales these days. It's all based on word of mouth and touring, to be honest. I mean, as far as bands that are unfamiliar to audiences, the only way they really get a real feel for the band is by seeing them live.
Yes.
And I think that touched us out tremendously.
Yeah, because I have this idea that maybe in terms of the States, there are many more radio stations, and it's perhaps easier these days, to get played on radio across the United States. Whereas, as you know, Chris, in the UK, it's very scaled down as far as radio goes. And I say that because a lot of your stuff is very radio friendly.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of relative because there's a lot of stations here, but there's also way more acts as far as competition is concerned. We're constantly in a battle with other groups that are in our wheelhouse, so to speak,
yeah,
that we're fighting for, a radio spot,
Yes. Now, I've worked out that as far as music goes, you might have been buying music, starting to buy albums, let's say, in the mid-1990s, the era of grunge, really. I mean, did these bands inspire you to make your own music?
Yeah, that was definitely a huge time for me as far as what made me want to write songs and learn guitar and things like that. Albums like Super Unknown from Soundgarden, Throwing Copper from Live, those are huge albums for me as far as influence is concerned. Still is.
And you've actually collaborated with some of these musicians from that period and a little bit later, really. Now, talking about collaborations, you've worked with any number of fellow artists. I mean, it must be a great experience. I mean, how do those writing sessions come about, Chris?
They're all very different. I mean, Chad became a good friend of mine via touring together so often that it just kind of worked itself out that we ended up writing together. Brent Smith, Shinedown, reached out to me when I did I Dare You from Shinedown on the show, and we became good friends, and he met up with me while I was on the Idol tour. We wrote There and Back Again. And I think every situation is different. There was a lot of mutual respect with these artists. They became pretty good friends of mine, and it just happened to work out.
And do you think that's an aspect that you'll continue? Because with the latest album, Baptize, you've also collaborated with a range of other songwriters and producers.
Yeah, and I wanted to work with people that I hadn't worked with before, someone that was going to kind of challenge me out of my comfort zone a bit. So I picked people that I'd never worked with and had a really respectable track record as far as songs they had written and artists they had written for and artists they had written with. And I wanted to kind of dive into that a little bit and see what happened and see if there was any kind of chemistry. And songs that came out were just very different than anything I'd ever done before. And I loved it.
It keeps things fresh for you, doesn't it?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Now, you've made four albums under your own name so far, you know, the Daughtry Band, and we had a re-promotion of Baptised here in the UK to tie in with that spring tour in March. And some critics commented on the electro-pop edge to Baptised. I mean, do you think this is just unique to that album, or is that a direction you might maintain in the future, or do you like to just mix things up a bit?
I personally never really think about an album from one to the next. You know, we tackle it at that time period, and I think this record may be you know, that season. I'm not really sure what the next record would be like. I have plenty of ideas of what I'd like to do for records in the future. I'd love to do something extremely stripped and organic where there's 100% no electronic or electric guitar or anything. You know, I have so many artists that I've listened to records going, oh my gosh, I want to do a record like that. I want to do it. And I just never really know until we start the writing process as to what kind of shape that record's going to take.
Yeah. Throughout these four albums, for any listeners not familiar with your work, there's a strong commercial aspect, you know, the catchy, anthemic, you know, all these terms.
Yeah, I mean, I think that part will never change because
no.
I've always been a sucker for pop melodies. I mean, one of the first songs as a kid that made me, you know, crank the radio up was Rick Astley, Never Gonna Give You Up, and that's not a joke.
It's funny the effect that track's had on various people, because I'm sure you're not the only one to have said that, really.